Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll do so for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak onto those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. You know, one who is in authority has the right to command, the right to enforce obedience, and the right to administer punishment. When one has ultimate authority, that empowers others to act upon his will, then he is authorizing their action. But one who assumes authority that's not granted by the one who has ultimate authority, then he's acting presumptuously, and he really flaunts all authority. Let us look at authority from the standpoint of divine matters, because in divine matters, authority can be seen in creation. Remember in Genesis 1 and verse 1, it said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." And then in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Friends, if there is no divine creator, then there is no creation. The universe is simply a product of chance. Man is an accident of nature. And there's no basis on which moral or spiritual authority can be established. But you know, this is the assumption that secular humanists have operated from for quite a while. When they say that there is no God, and when they say that man is the measure of himself. But friends, if God created the universe, then order flows from his power to make whatever exists. In Job, the 38th chapter, God runs Job through a series of questions. And one of those questions in particular was recorded in verse 4. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." And then, of course, the chapter has a whole host of questions, but it shows that God truly created, that God truly is the one by virtue of creation has all authority. And so if we start with the assertion that God is, then the existence and the order in the universe makes sense. If God made it all and it functions according to his power, then we're spared all of this hand-wringing about global warming, depleting the ozone, running out of water, running out of food, running out of wood, and all of these other anxieties that are concocted in the minds of the humanist. Now, this is not to say that we should not be good stewards of all that God has given us, because he has made it for us, we know. In the statement in Genesis chapter 1, for example, down at verse 28, the statement is made, "God blessed them," that is, the man and the woman, "and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. So he that made it, let us understand, is still in charge. Man, in all of his wisdom, can't form one drop of dew on the ground. Man, in all of his wisdom, can't make it rain. And man, in all of his wisdom, cannot stay the terrible rumble of an earthquake or stop the force of a hurricane. It's the authority of the Almighty that rules in the universe. And so when it comes to order in the moral realm, Let us understand, God made man. We read that a moment ago in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Therefore, man is subject to divine law. If there's no God, there's no basis for moral order. All crime and immorality grows out of a disrespect for divine authority. If man has evolved by chance, then he has no standard for moral behavior except whatever it is that he happens to impose upon himself. This is how that situation ethics originated. But if God made us, he has the right to determine what is moral conduct and the right to tell us to account for disregarding his authority over us. You know, this is the point that Paul was making to the idolaters there in the city of Athens on what's called Mars Hill. We read about that in Acts 17, verses 24 through 31. And notice again the verses as we read them. Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 24. God that made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all of the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devisions. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So, why does God want all men everywhere to repent? Well, again, look at verse 31. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. So God has made us. God expects something of us. And he will call us to account for that responsibility. So the Creator has authority over the creature. Paul questioned the Romans. And that question is very to the point and valid for the point that we're trying to make in our study this morning. Let's look over in Romans chapter 9, and we'll begin our reading at verses 20 and read verse 21 as well. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? So, see this question that Paul asked? And, you know, with notable exceptions, the morals of this nation are a shambles. How did we come to such a sad state of affairs? Well, it's stated here. The creature has scorned his Creator. We have fallen into the same pit that the Gentile nations plunged into that Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 1. If we go back there, we'll begin our reading with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even though women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So truly, we're fallen into the same pit which this Gentile nation that Paul is describing here. When they knew God, verse 21 says that they glorified him not. And did they have abundant evidence of God's power and majesty? Oh yes, they had the whole universe as a testimony to his existence and power. That he points out in verse 20. But while they boasted of their great wisdom, they in reality became fools. Their hearts became darker and darker. They made idols to fulfill that inner desire to worship something. And the end result? It was more chaos. Everything from homosexuality to murder followed. So how and why did this happen? Well, the creature lost respect for the Creator. But as we end our study this morning, let's be reminded of a statement that Paul made to the idolaters in the city of Athens there in Acts 17 and verse 27, when he said, "Happy is the one who seeks the Lord, gropes after him and finds him, though he be not far from every one of us." So truly, let's understand that Bible faith is not blind. Faith to a Christian is not a blind leap. Faith, as we find in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the evidence that we have is the universe all around us, the earth on which we live, the stars, the sun, the moon that we can see when we look up into the sky. All of this is evidence, and we don't need to deny it. We don't need to ignore it, because that is the evidence that is there that when we stand before God in the judgment, we will be without excuse to say that, well, we didn't know that there was a God. There is a God, and we need to turn to his word to know what his will is. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.